Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 4 tonight, as we continue our series on Wednesday night in the book of Galatians. Remember, one of the unique things about this letter from Paul is that it's written to a series of churches, multiple churches, not just one, in the region of Galatia. And as we got into the book, I shared with you that every week I would remind all of us that this book could sort of be summarized by two spiritual equations. Jesus plus nothing equals everything, and Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Remember the context of what happened and what sort of brought this letter about. Paul had planted these churches. They had gotten started on a good foot. Somewhere along the line, false teachers began to infiltrate these churches and draw many of these people back into legalism, back into adhering the law, back into religion, rules and regulations, checking off boxes, rather than building a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Paul is heartbroken. He's at the end of himself as he pours out his heart to the Galatians in this letter. He is hoping that something that he says, through obviously the Spirit of God, will awaken them and cause them to turn back to Christ. In fact, look at verse 9 of chapter 4 for just a moment before we go to the passage before us tonight. He says, "How can you turn back again to the weak and worthless basic forces?" They had turned away from Christ and turned to adhering the law. This is also a reminder that, again, our life with God is never static, never stationary. We're either moving forward or we're moving backward. We don't just get somewhere and plateau and stay there. That should be an inspiration to all of us to keep moving forward and moving ahead with the Lord. And even though we're going to talk about verses 21 through 31, the end of this chapter, I want to read verses 13 through 20 tonight as we get started of chapter 4. And pick it up there because we ended in verse 12 of chapter 4 last week. And what I want us to keep in mind tonight is this. I kept asking the Lord, "Lord, how do I package this passage tonight? How do I present this passage tonight? From what angle? From what perspective?" And God gave me this that he wanted me to share with all of us tonight. We all say as Christians that grace is powerful. And it is. We have great hymns and songs like Amazing Grace and Wonderful Grace of Jesus and you know, the Incredible Grace and all of that. And we talk about grace. And in our heads, we know that this thing called grace, it's dynamic, it's powerful. There's something to it, right? And this grace that God bestows is not just something in us. It is something that literally creates and shapes and maintains a realm that we live in, an environment that we live in, an atmosphere, an air that we live in. And we have a choice. We can either, as Christians, live in that realm of grace, live in that environment, that atmosphere, that air, or we can choose to depart from that realm. And I think what we're going to see tonight in this passage is this. Paul is going to use a personal example, first of all, and then a scriptural example. And in those two examples, Paul is going to teach us much about how great and wondrous it is to live in the realm of grace. But if we remove ourselves from that realm, it's tragic and it comes with grave consequences because it totally changes everything. We're either living in grace or we're not living in the realm of grace. There is no middle ground. And so please follow along as I begin reading verses 13 through 20 tonight of Galatians chapter 4. He says to the Galatians, "You know, it was because of a physical illness that I first proclaimed the gospel to you. And though my physical condition put you to the test, you did not despise or reject me. Instead, you welcome me as though I were an angel of God, as though I were Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your sense of happiness now? For I testify about you that if it were possible, you would have pulled out your eyes and given them to me. So then have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? They, speaking of these false teachers, court you eagerly, but for no good purpose. They want to exclude you so that you would seek them eagerly. However, it is good to be sought eagerly, pursued always for a good purpose at all times, and not only when I am present with you, my children. I am again undergoing birth pains until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be with you now and change my tone of voice because I am perplexed about you." Literally, I'm at a loss. Humanly speaking, I don't know what to do or what to say. Apart from divine intervention, I don't have an answer. Let's go back to the beginning of our passage tonight. I want us to see when we live in the realm of grace, we do not prioritize the physical over the spiritual. And when we live in the realm of grace, we're living in a realm that is limitless to us and for us because it's all God. And with God, all things are possible. And therefore, we do not limit ourselves and how God can use us. We do not limit the opportunities that could be ours. We do not limit what kind of service or ministry God could do through us because it's not really about us. And so we're not going to, when we're living in the realm of grace, looking for optimal circumstances. Like everything's got to line up in my life first, and then I'll start serving God and having God, you know, use me to touch people's lives. No, when I live in the realm of grace, anything is possible because there's nothing impossible for God. So note, Paul makes a very interesting statement in verse 13. He actually says it was because of this physical illness of his that he first proclaimed the gospel to them. We don't have any idea any more than that. Like, what's the other details of that? How did that happen? Why did your physical illness open up a door of opportunity for you to go to Galatia and plant churches and all that? We don't know. Paul doesn't give us any more information than that. But here's what we do know. We do know that Paul didn't sit there and go, "Well, I've got this physical infirmity and, you know, God's not going to be able to really use me because of this physical infirmity, so I'm just going to sort of sit here And I'm just going to keep praying that God heals me, because then when he heals me, then I'll go out and start serving and ministering for the Lord. But as long as I've got this physical illness, he can't really use me and I can't really do too much. See, the realm of grace says no. The realm of grace, anything is possible. And here's a situation where, was this where Paul even appealed to the Lord three times to take this thorn in the flesh away? And God said, no, my grace is sufficient. Again, we don't know all the details, but we do know this. Paul did not allow his physical illness to stop him from being used by God to touch other people's lives. And we shouldn't either. We shouldn't allow our physical limitations, our physical disabilities, our physical illnesses and all of that. Let me give you an example. I've heard this from many of you through the years and heard it from many Christians. They have an illness and they get into the hospital. And all of a sudden, while they're there, they're witnessing to doctors and nurses and telling people about Jesus while they're there. People that they would have never come in contact with unless they would have had that physical illness. And all of a sudden, the person who has the physical illness is using a hospital as a ministry opportunity. Or even using myself, there are many times as a pastor where I would go to a hospital and I would visit somebody wanting to be an encouragement and blessing to them, and I left that hospital room being encouraged and being blessed. That's especially the case if you ever go to like a Phoenix Children's Hospital. Children are some of the most amazing people in the world. They can be suffering with, you know, cancer and all kinds of terrible illnesses, but there's a spirit inside of them. And it's just amazing. And you walk away from those kind of encounters and you go, why am I complaining one day of my life? What do I have to complain? What do I have to be up? You know, it sort of like resets everything. That's the realm of grace. When we get outside of that realm, we begin to look more at ourselves and what we can't bring and what we can't do and all of that. And when we're living in the realm of grace, anything is possible. And then notice this, the reaction of the Galatians, verse 14. Not only did Paul's physical illness not keep him from ministering and serving and touching other people's lives, but he even attests, my physical condition put you to the test. I know it did. There was something about Paul's physical condition that was off-putting. It just was like, ooh. In fact, he even says, you did not despise or reject me. Now, many think it had something to do with his eyes, and he even says in verse 15, if it were possible, you would have pulled out your eyes and given them to me. So that sort of suggests that maybe this was an eye thing. I think, obviously, that was some part of Paul's struggles physically. But if you read extra-biblical literature about Paul, Paul was not an imposing figure at all physically. Paul was this older guy that was sort of hunched over and walked with, like, you know, sort of a limp. He didn't have this powerful, imposing stature to him. He wasn't necessarily, you know, a speaker that could project and had this powerful voice. So now we begin to think, when you think about all the physical stuff, and then you think about all the beatings that Paul took, and how that would have obviously misaligned his spine and all the broken bones that he had from stonings and all of those things. I mean, here was a man that would have not looked great, right? No wonder Paul said, but in my weakness, I'm strong. Because again, in the realm of grace, it wasn't Paul that was doing any of it. It was God working through him. And that's the realm that God wants all of us to get and to live in. Because too often we allow our physical to override the spiritual. And our limitations and our weaknesses and all of these things. And God's like, just give me you and I can override and overcome all that stuff. God doesn't need some, you know, Goliath figure to shake the world. God used an old, crippled, broken down, probably off-putting man to shake the world. Because it was in the realm of grace. Not outside of God's grace. And because this was all happening in the realm of grace, it even affected how the Galatians related to Paul. Instead of being like a lot of people who would go, oh, physically, I'm going to sort of keep distance. And remember, just like in Jesus' day, when people suffered physically, there was that mentality as they must be doing some great sinning. You know, that they must be a terrible sinner because otherwise they wouldn't be physically suffering the way they are. You remember even the story of the man born blind and, well, who sinned, him or his parents? That was the mentality. So I think that's even part of this. Because notice, Paul goes on to say, instead you welcomed me. You didn't think there was something wrong with me because I was suffering. And sometimes, too, in the realm of grace, God uses our suffering to touch others or us even navigating our suffering. As Paul says to the Corinthians, God is the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our tribulations in order for us then to turn around and comfort others who are going through the same troubles that we go through. And Paul's saying, when I came to you, you could have rejected me because my appearance, I'll just use a word that ugly. Paul was probably not a pretty boy. He was probably a little on the ugly side. And because he was suffering so, again, they could have concluded, well, God's hand's not on him, because if God's hand was on him, he wouldn't be suffering so much. He wouldn't look the way he does. No, realm of grace, whole different story. So Paul says, because we were all operating in the realm of grace, you were welcoming me as if I was an angel or even Christ. You treated me as good as gold. So then, verse 15, now he says, since you've left the realm of grace, and you've left that really special realm where only special things, supernatural things can happen. He says, where then is your sense of happiness now? You've lost it. By the way, this word happiness simply means being blessed and favored by God. Knowing that you are living in and under the blessing and favor of God. And Paul basically calls him out and says, you're not happy anymore, are you? Because you're not living under the blessing and favor of God because you've removed yourself from that realm of grace and you've chosen this realm. And that's what happens. That's how tragic it is to leave the realm of grace. Not only because there's no limitations and supernatural things and miracles and with God all things are possible can happen in this. And it even... living in the realm of grace even affects, as we've already seen, how we relate to each other. It does. It affects, you know, our love for one another, as we're going to see, and how we talk to one another and how we embrace one another and how we welcome one another. Grace covers all that and can affect all that. But when you start going out of the realm of grace, it changes everything. Because he says, back then when we were all in the realm of grace, if it were possible, you'd have pulled out your eyes and given them to me. So then, verse 16, have I become your enemy now by telling you the truth? See, this, it's all changed now, right? They looked at Paul as this, you know, great guy. You treated me like an angel of God or Jesus himself. You welcomed me. You embraced me. You listened to me. You followed my instructions. You embraced the gospel. You got saved. You started following Christ. You let me lead you in all these good things. Now, because you're not living in the realm of grace anymore, it's affected our relationship. Now I become your enemy. I haven't changed. What's changed? You've changed. And because you've left the realm of grace, now you're looking at me as your enemy. You're looking at me different. All of us know of Christians who in our lifetime, at one time, we were, you know, we were great and they loved us and, man, everything was good. And all of a sudden, something happened in which they didn't want to deal with the truth. They didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to face the truth. And all of a sudden, we become the enemy. Because we're no longer both living in the realm of grace. And now that dynamic between two parties has changed. I know it's happened to you because it's happened to me. It happens to all of us. Because just as our spiritual life is not static or stationary, neither are relationships. Relationships never stay the same. They're either getting closer or better, or they're drifting apart and not going to end on good terms. Notice he says of the false teachers, who again are not living in the realm of grace, they court you. That's a good word. They pursue you. They will flatter you. Listen, flattery works, whether we like it or not. Flattery works. People know how to use words to gain the audience of others. How to get their ear. How to tickle their ear. And then notice what he says, though. They want to exclude you so that you would seek them eagerly. They're manipulators. And they're control freaks. So they come on strong, and then they back off. Because they're manipulating you. See, when you live in the realm of grace, the relationships are built on love and respect. When you get outside the realm of grace, it's not trusting in the Lord. It's, I got to take care of this myself. It's about control. It's about manipulation of others. Paul says, listen, it's great to be sought and pursued for good purpose. Not even just when I'm present with you. In other words, Paul's saying, that's what I'm trying to do now. I'm writing you all these letters to go out to the churches of Galatia because I love you. In fact, he expresses his love for them in a great way in verse 19 when he calls them his children, his spiritual children. And he says, I'm again undergoing birth pains until Christ is formed in you. Now listen, any man doesn't really know what you gals go through when a child is born. But we do know, at least, it's really painful. We do know that. Not by experience, but we know it's painful. And Paul, again, the reason he chose that was because he's using the word formed. The word that was used to describe the development of a child in a mother's womb. And he's saying, I'm in pain watching you because you have removed yourself from the realm of grace. And look at what it's doing to you. Look at how tragic it is. Look at the terrible consequences this has brought about. This has changed how you view me, your spiritual father. You're no longer happy. You've left the only source of true fulfillment and satisfaction. You know you're not living under the blessing and favor of God. But you've allowed these false teachers to manipulate and control you instead of being led by God, who loves you more than you could ever imagine. And me, who loves you so much that I'm literally in anguish watching this all come about. Before we move on to the final passage tonight, this is a convicting question, sobering question, I think, for all of us. Are there other Christians, other believers, that we literally are in pain and anguish over seeing how Christ is being formed in them, or in this not being formed in them? Do we care that much about any of our brothers and sisters in Christ? And is there anyone, another brother or sister in Christ in our life that truly loves and cares about us enough that that's the kind of investment they're making in our life? They're struggling alongside with us as Christ is being formed in us. This makes then the prayers of Paul make so much sense in the New Testament. When you study the prayers of Paul, they're predominantly prayers asking for God's enablement to help these people, whether they're in Ephesus or Philippi or Colossae or Galatia or wherever they are, to spiritual growth and maturity. That's Paul's primary prayers. The spiritual growth and maturity of other Christians. He prays for that diligently. And he's in pain as he watches other Christians struggle needlessly because they wouldn't have to, because if they got back into the realm of grace, then everything's possible. Oh, the possibilities in the realm of grace. But outside the realm, nothing. Because that realm can bring about nothing supernatural, nothing special. But in the realm of grace, all things are possible. So Paul goes from using a personal example of these two realms, and then lays out a scriptural example. And notice how he begins in verse 21. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you really understand the law? They were all about the law, the first five books, the Torah. So guess what? Paul says, okay, I'll use your law to show you how misguided you are. Because didn't you ever read about Abraham? This question from Paul to the Galatians is a good reminder to all of us to make sure that we are as we read God's word, as we study God's word, that we're truly getting the intent meant. And that we're not just, again, reading it to fill our minds with information, but we're truly gaining the heart of God and what God meant for us to get in that passage. Because here are people who say, we're all about those first five books. Really? Do you really understand what you're reading there? Because here's my example. Verse 22. It was written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. And these two sons, as Paul is going to say, represent, verse 24, two covenants. Notice verse 23. One son was born naturally. The other was born through the promise, or born supernaturally. In other words, one was born in the realm of grace, all relying and depending upon the Lord to do it, to bring it about. He made the promise, I will give you a son, you will be the father of many nations. And Abraham and Sarah, as the years moved on, it was like, we can't wait any longer. We got to take care of this ourselves. We got to bring this about. Because God's taken too long. And boy, did they mess it up, didn't they? Because here comes Hagar and here comes Ishmael. And by the way, if we don't think that our choices and decisions have consequences and ramifications, the consequences of Abraham and Sarah's choice is still being felt today. Because there are still two groups of people in the Middle East who cannot coexist with each other and get along at all. The descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac. And it will be that way until Jesus comes. Ishmael represents the son who was born naturally. What man can do. There was nothing supernatural or special about that. It was the normal course. God wanted to show his people, beginning with Abraham, the father of a new nation, don't just live in the realm of what you can do. Live in the realm of what only I can do. Live in the special, supernatural, miraculous realm where anything is possible. Even God says that. When God announced to Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son in a year, Sarah started laughing. I love that. God says, why'd she laugh? I didn't laugh. And God says, is anything impossible for God? No. See. So often we want to take matters into our own hands. Because either God's not doing it fast enough, or he's not doing it the way we want. And when we do that, we're just like Abraham and Sarah. We take ourselves out of the realm of grace, and we put ourselves in that other realm. And man, do we mess things up. We think we're going to fix it. Oh, we fixed it, all right. And notice the result, verses 24 and 25. The one born naturally leads to slavery. The end of verse 24. The one who was born supernaturally, verse 26, is free. Freedom. Freedom or slavery? Enslavement. That's what the law was. That's what the natural is all about. That's what outside the realm of grace, It's all about enslavement. The only one who can truly set a human being free completely, thoroughly, and for good is Jesus Christ. Anyone or anything else, it leads eventually to enslavement. In verse 31, he ends this passage by saying, but we're not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Because you can only become a child supernaturally. Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born from above, born again, born of the Spirit. Natural birth won't get you anywhere. It's got to be supernatural. How sad is it that we trust, as Christians, God to birth us supernaturally into his family to make us one of his children, and then after we become a child of God, as Paul even said to the Galatians, then we try to finish our Christian life in our own flesh. Being self-sufficient. Looking to self. Self-reliant, self-sufficient, what I can do, instead of living in the realm of grace, living in the hope and expectation and confidence of what can God do? Two other points I want to make tonight. First of all, those who are outside the realm of grace, there is a great, I'll say, irritation with those who live inside the realm of grace. Notice what it says in verse 29. Just as at that time the one born by natural descent persecuted the one born according to the Spirit, so it is now. Living in the realm of grace is like living in no other environment or atmosphere or air. Nothing like it. But we must expect that those outside the realm will persecute those living in that realm. Why? Because they want glory. That's why they want to do it themselves. They want the praise. They want the attention. They want the glory. Over here in the realm of grace, God gets all the glory. They don't like that. And this goes back to even the fall of Lucifer, in my opinion. Why did Lucifer, that great angelic creation of God, fall? Because he wanted to be like God. Instead of God getting the glory, Lucifer wanted glory. He wanted people to look at him. He wanted to be great. He wanted to be exalted. He wanted to be elevated as a mere creation of God. And ever since then, he's been trying to get human beings to go his way. Don't give God glory. Don't live for God. Don't seek to honor God. It's all about you. Outside the realm of grace. And yet, isn't it interesting that God says, if you live in this realm and you give me glory, I will honor you. I will honor you. I will reward you. I will bless you. I will pour out my favor. And let's just use Abraham as an example. Here we are thousands of years after Abraham lived on earth. And who are we talking about? Who is basically the leader of three different world religions? Or at least a leading figure in three different world religions? Abraham. He's a big dude on planet Earth. He gave up being a big fish in a small pond. He could have been one of those very influential sheikhs in the Ur of the Chaldees. But God said, trust me, I got bigger things planned for you in this realm over here. Trust me. And so Abraham gave up all that for this. But the realm of grace and the realm outside of grace cannot coexist. You can't live partly in the realm of grace and partly in the realm of legalism. You can't mix the two. It's either all one or all the other. So that's why in verse 30, notice Paul ends this great passage by saying, let's go back to the scripture. Isn't that, that's where we all should go, right? You want the answer? Go to the Bible. Go to the scripture. What does the scripture say? Throw out the slave woman. Now, this is not in any way a editorial on how God felt about Hagar and Ishmael. If you know the story in Genesis, you know that that's not true. What God was doing there was saying, law and grace cannot live together. Law and grace cannot coexist. They must be separated. And that's why God said, it's okay, Abraham. It's okay that Sarah wants Hagar and Ishmael gone. Because it's a true picture of spiritually what's really going on here. They were never going to get along anyway. Because one was born naturally out of what man could do on his own apart from God. And the other was born supernaturally only by the hand of God. And Paul is saying to the Galatians, turn back. Do you see what you're missing by not being in the realm of grace? You're not going to experience anything supernatural anymore in your churches in Galatia. God's not going to do anything special. You're not living under the blessing and favor of God anymore. You're just going through the motions. And you're allowing these false teachers to manipulate you and control you. Because for them, it's not about you. They don't really care about you. All they care about is themselves. Again, because they're not living in this realm, they're living in this realm. And it's all about them. My children, I love you. In fact, I'm undergoing birth pains watching Christ being formed in you. And I want so much more for you. And yet, I can't make that choice for you. Any who have been parents and watched our children make bad choices and bad decisions that we know is not going to end well, we know exactly what Paul is feeling spiritually. Because we've all been there. We all know what that's like to go, don't you see what you're doing? It's not going to end well. And so Paul is calling all of us, don't ever leave the realm of grace. Live in it. Stand in it. Maintain that connection with God's grace. Father, we thank you tonight for Paul, Lord, being so vulnerable and laying himself bare. He doesn't know what else to do. He's at a loss to try to get to the hearts of these Galatian Christians who've left the realm of grace and entered into legalism. God, I pray that all of us would be reminded, Lord, just how powerful living in the realm of grace can be. Lord, there's nothing else like it. We get to see you, Lord, show up and be God and do your what only God can do things continually, God, if we'll just trust you and live in that realm. But Lord, when we begin to take matters into our own hands, we remove ourselves from that realm. And we're left with just what we can do, what we can accomplish apart from you. God, may all of us desire to partner with you, to see you do what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week.